banged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down?
It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show.
All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host, special guest, Brian McCarty, Dr. Brian McCarty. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Brian. Sir, how are you today?
I am very well. It's championship Saturday.
Man, there's no chance. There's no chance I thought we were getting here.
You know what? This is fantastic. It does feel a little bit like we're playing with house money at this point.
But I agree with
that. At the same time, when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers and a coach like McCarthy, you kind of hope that they can get into that game again, have another chance at a Super Bowl, and add to Aaron's legacy. Because whether it's fair or not, that's how these things get measured. And, you know, it would be – he got one taken away from him with Seattle 2 years ago.
Yep.
That wasn't his fault.
Correct.
And we would love to see him get back in there again. They have a chance.
Dr. Brian, we taped the game from the middle of the third quarter on, and I went back and watched the last 6 minutes. Because of the pass that Cooks caught and the field goals, you kind of forget about some of the plays that happened prior. And all of a sudden, when you go back and replay and watch it again, you realize that, you know, when the blocked pass on third down that caused Dallas to kick that field. I mean, there's just so many little things that happened that you kind of forget about, and you just focus on a couple of major plays. But, man, everything went their way there for a little while.
Well, that's football. I mean, you know, there are always lots of different plays that go through the game, an inch here, inch there. You know, today we're really excited because Leroy Butler – Packer Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion.
Yep.
Honestly, one of my favorite players of all time.
Sure.
For the Packers, no
Mine
doubt.
Too.
Is going to be joining us at 9:30. So don't miss that. You want to stick around for that. But he's going to talk to us a little bit about what that's like. I mean, you know, there are plays. People say, oh, it's only the first quarter. Whatever. It doesn't matter. All those plays matter throughout the game. And the Packers did last week what they needed to do. They needed to jump up on Dallas early. And then they needed to hang on for dear life at the end, you know.
And they did.
You know, Morgan Burnett, his injury, I think, had a lot to do with Dallas's success after that injury. It seemed like the game changed tremendously. And we're going to talk to Leroy about that as well, because he was back there. He knows how important it is to be a safety and what they do for that team.
Yeah, and we, you know, a lot of this show today is going to be talking about how NFL players – are they hurt or are they injured, and how they make that determination whether they're going to play or not. And I read, in fact, I printed it for you, a really good article from an ex-player that said, look, it is truly a business, and you find out how much of a business it is when you become injured. And the team wants to know, and the players want to know, are you hurt? Because if you're hurt, you can play. If you're injured, then show us what your doctor said. Basically, the article said, man, it's just brutal. You know, this game is going to move on. And if you're injured, you need to get off to the side and just get out of the way and let us do our thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different at any other level, by the way. The same thing happens in college and everything else. And that's why we have such an issue with sometimes with the collegiate, you know, the amateur athlete getting kind of kicked out. Is a little even harsher than this, where these guys know kind of what they're into. But
right.
Nonetheless, today, I think what we're going to want to do is answer questions like all the fans out there have about all of our injured players and what are their injuries really? Because, you know, you get these reports. This is why we started the show, right? You get reports about guys talking about whether they're hurt or whether they're injured, which
right.
is sort of a fine line. And then people don't really understand what's wrong. So we're going to go through the list. And we're going to answer the questions, just like we got questions all week about this. I know I did.
I did, too.
And so I'm going to answer all those questions and explain kind of not only what the injuries are, what the expectations should be, and then, you know, whether these guys are going to be able to go or not.
He is Dr. Brian McCarty. Again, go to mymosh.com for more information. I'm sure that we've been asked about the same player the most, and that's Jordy Nelson.
Yes.
And so let's talk a little bit about that. Prior to the show, we talked for a couple minutes, and I don't think either one of us think he's going to play tomorrow.
Well, his injury, according to the reports, understanding I am not treating him for this injury,
correct,
but he was reported to have two rib fractures, and that's from a direct blow from a helmet into the ribs. I watched the play, and I knew that he had broken his ribs the moment he got hit. You could see the deformation of his chest wall and the whole thing. And I have broken a rib myself. I did that playing street hockey.
There you go.
But I only had one broken rib. Now, the important thing to understand about these injuries is that the ribs are there for a reason, and they're protecting vital organs. You know, little things like your spleen and your lungs. I'm being facetious, of course. These are your vital organs that the ribs are there to protect throughout your thorax. And when you have more than one broken rib, you lose some of the protection of the ribs themselves. So think about how they're structured. You have 12 ribs that are in a cage. And so if you crack one, the one above and below will help to some degree to protect you from further change in the pattern of injury there. So in other words, if it's cracked and you get hit again, that crack is not stable. So it can allow more motion and potentially allow more injury to the vital organs underneath. If you have more than one broken rib, there's less stability there, and it's even riskier for you to go out and play. Now, one of the things I wanted to bring up is people ask, well, how do people play through these injuries? Well, the way they play is basically by numbing the nerves that go to the ribs, and that's actually fairly easy to do. You can put a needle underneath the rib, the neurovascular bundle, where the blood vessels and the nerves go there, is right there, and you can numb it very effectively. And so to do that for a couple of different rib sections is actually fairly easy. If he is to play, he's going to be wearing a flak jacket underneath that, and that's an outside protection that's designed to sort of reduce some of the impact and spread it across more of the ribs to reduce the risk of a deep injury to the lungs or to the spleen. But the question is it really safe for a receiver who's got to put his arms up over his head and catch a ball potentially to be doing that? And that's where, even if he were to try to play, he'd be markedly limited in his ability to do that.
Doctor, in this article that I read, and this is the first time that I read this about it, it says Jordy Nelson is likely to be out with rib fractures and internal bruising. So did the internal bruising part of it is the part that I haven't read anywhere else other than this article that I found this morning. When they talk about the internal bruising, if they've had rib fractures, what is the internal bruising part of it then?
Well, that's a great question. There are two parts. One is when you break a bone, and the rib obviously is a bone, it bleeds a lot. And so you get what's called a fracture hematoma. You get bleeding around the fracture site, and that, of course, creates basically a collection of bleeding. It is essentially a bruise. So you end up with, we call it a hematoma, hema meaning blood and toma meaning collection or tumor of it. So you have a collection of blood around the injury. If you see how the injury occurs and you see how any break occurs, the amount of deformity when the break actually occurs is a lot. So his ribs actually were bowing in against his lungs and his spleen at the time that it broke.
Okay.
Ribs are pretty elastic. They're very flexible. And so he may have some bruising deep to the injury as well in the lungs and in the spleen. Now, that part, I suspect, has largely resolved. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be having him run around at practice.
Okay.
So that's a very good sign for him that he's able to do those things. Means he doesn't have, for example, just not to keep going, but you can actually lacerate your spleen. The spleen is an organ that's just filled with blood. It actually works as a blood filter, and that can be fatal if you're unlucky. And, you know, Chris Sims did that a number of years ago in a game.
Right.
So that's the first thing I saw when I saw that was he broke his ribs, and, he, you know, hopefully he didn't lacerate his spleen.
And when you looked and the camera was right on him,
mm-hmm.
Boy, the amount of pain that man was in was incredible. When they kept him overnight, when you're talking about the fractured ribs and the internal bruising, they kept him overnight. And what they continued to monitor what with him?
His breathing.
Okay.
Yeah, the biggest risk when you have a fracture like this is that you have difficulty breathing, because every time you breathe in, your ribs expand, and every time you breathe out, they contract. So things like coughing, sneezing, any of this stuff are just brutal when you have a broken rib. I can tell you from personal experience, it's not very fun. And I didn't have somebody hit me with a helmet.
Right.
I mean, his injury severity compared to what I did is probably you know, 10 times as bad, literally.
I never had one. I did break my brother Tim's. We're goofing around, and I punched him and caught him just perfectly. And he is a runner and a guy down in Florida. He ended up getting on a plane the next morning going home, and he said he couldn't laugh, sleep, couldn't run. Other than that, he was just fine.
Yep.
Hey, before we get to a break, the second guy that a lot of people have asked me about and asked me to talk to you about is Davante Adams.
Yep.
That play, I thought he was done. And again, from my eye, he looked like a pretzel there for a minute. And when he went out, I thought, man, he broke his ankle. He's done. And then when he came back in, I thought, wow, that's incredible. And now, they're saying he's listed as questionable. I don't think he's practiced much this week. And they're not quite sure if he's going to go. And then the other article I read said, he's probably going to go, and they're going to numb it and get him on the field and see how it goes.
If his ankle is stable, he will play. You know, he doesn't apparently have a fracture there. It looked like a high ankle sprain mechanism. But if his ankle is stable, he'll play. Whether he'll be effective is a whole nother thing. And then after the break, we're going to talk also about this so-called flu virus, which is not really a flu, but it's what's called norovirus. It's a stomach flu virus that's been going around.
Bad.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who've had it. I got it. And we're going to talk about that as well, because that's really hitting this team and the Steelers hard this week.
Perfect. And we're also going to talk about a couple other players, Quentin Rollins and Morgan Burnett, as we talked about. Geronimo Allison, who, you know, this could be his breaking out game, and he's injured and he's hurt with a hamstring. And we'll get to all of those on the other side of the break. My special guest and co-host this week, Dr. Brian McCarty. Again, go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Brian. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, music brought to you by Dr. Brian McCarty. Perfect timing for this, I think.
I think we are the champions.
Well, you are. You are. We'll see tomorrow. Hey, we had talked a little in the first segment about this stomach virus that is sweeping through Packer team and the Steelers. Haven't heard anything about Atlanta, haven't heard anything about New England, but we've really heard it about the Packers and the Steelers, and it's a bigger deal than some people think.
It is. This is what's called norovirus, and it's a common thing that happens this time of the year, but it's happened at a much higher frequency this year than most. I actually looked this up. The CDC saw a big spike just near the Christmas holiday, and it's been going on ever since. This is an extremely contagious stomach bug is what it is. It's a viral infection of the stomach. We call it a gastroenteritis. It's not really flu, even though the common term is stomach flu. It's not the flu epidemic that you hear about. This is actually a stomach flu. It's a different type of gastroenteritis that you get inflammation of the stomach lining and the intestinal lining. And I can tell you from personal experience, this one stinks. I know a lot of people who've had it, and it's significant. You get very dehydrated and very, very tired for several days after. This is about a 72-hour kind of a thing.
Oh, man.
And the first day, the worst for sure, but I'm telling you, they won't have normal energy levels for several days after they have this. Now, how are they going to treat it? Well, first of all, you got to make sure they're doing a lot of hand washing, not sharing towels, not sharing equipment. That's how these things get transferred.
That's hard in the NFL locker room, I would think.
That's exactly right, and that's why it's such a problem for them. They will have access to IV fluids, which will help them get rehydrated a little faster. But you know, these are the kind of things you kind of have to let them run their course. But it's very contagious, and that's the biggest problem. You hear it on cruise ships, right? You hear about somebody got sick on a cruise ship, and then everybody gets sick, right? Well, the reason it's a contained environment, and these viruses stick around for a while on any surface that they're on. So anyway, for people who are out there who would like to avoid getting this, I would advise frequent hand washing. Hand sanitizer is effective, but mostly if people are sick, just try to stay away from contaminating other things. Even food preparation for 2 days after you've been sick is an issue.
When this came out, I think on Tuesday, some of these guys, and you don't know how in depth it has spread, how deep it spread. But for those guys that got it on Tuesday or Wednesday, though they're not going to practice, you think they're, you know, by Sunday should be a little bit more normal.
Yeah, the concern is not those guys per se. It's you know, who else gets it,
right?
And how many guys are out on the day of the game, the day before the game, and how much does it affect their preparation, and how much does it affect their energy level?
I'd either heard or read a quote with Rodgers where a reporter said, look, I don't want to bring up the Michael Jordan game. And he said, well, then don't. And then off they went.
Yeah.
But that's what people always think, that, you know, Jordan was sick and he went up and scored 50 or whatever he did. But this thing is probably different with a stomach virus like this.
You know, that game, by the way, if you haven't seen it, you should YouTube that thing. It was amazing. But nonetheless, I mean, you can't really compare it. And nobody wants to be sick, believe me. This team, with as many injuries as they have, they don't need a bunch of guys who are recovering from a stomach virus.
Hey, can we talk a little bit about how NFL players play through pain? And I read this article, and I have it actually there in front of you, and there's three steps that they talk about. And I want to get your take on this article. Number one is to identify the severity of the injury. Obviously, extremely important that they are diagnosing the injury correctly.
Yeah, that's a great place to start. So diagnosis is always where you start, right? There's a great quote by the father of American medicine named Sir William Osler. And he said, a diagnosis not thought of is seldom made, meaning if you don't know the possibilities of what it could be, you can't make a proper diagnosis. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And the point is, everything medical needs to start with that. You need to know what it is. So for me and for most of my sports medicine colleagues, we break these down into categories. So category one for me is you're out, okay? You tore your ACL. You herniated a disc in your neck that's bulging and pinching a nerve. You know, you have risk of permanent disability by continuing to play. You're out. Okay, that's category one.
Okay.
And those are people, you know, and the team doctors do this for all the teams. It's not just something that we do. Category two injuries are the kind where if it's not so bad that you can't play at a higher level, you can compete. Because you're not, even though it may hurt you, you're not going to hurt it. Or even if you do hurt it, it's not going to be so bad that we can't fix it in the off season.
Right.
Right. And it won't get so bad that it makes a permanent problem. So those are things like maybe an MCL strain, for example, or Devontae Adams' ankle injury, where he may have a high ankle sprain that's not unstable. So it's not at risk of a career-ending injury. But it's not perfect, and he wouldn't play in a regular game. But in the NFC title game, you let him go.
Right.
These AC joint injuries that you hear about, that we talk about, do you put some Toradol and some numbing medicine in there and let him go? Well, yeah. I mean, if it's not unstable and it's not a risk for permanent injury, then that's a category two injury. Okay? So those are, you have a real thing, it's significant, but you can play as long as you can tolerate the pain. That makes sense?
Yes.
And then the next group is a category three, where it hurts, but it's actually not going to do any damage to you. So if you can go, you can just go, and you don't have to worry about that making any worse injury.
You had talked about the numbing agent called...
Well, there are different types. The one that we typically use is called ropivacaine. It's a long-acting local anesthetic, and that'll numb, you know, an area. So certain things like Morgan Burnett's quad injury we're going to talk about.
Right.
That's not a good one for that, because you're talking about a large area, basically what's called, again, a hematoma from a deep muscle bruise, and those aren't so good for numbing. The injuries like Jordy Nelson, where he's got this rib injury and you can numb the nerves on either side of the injury, those are really good candidates for numbing.
And you had talked Toradol, is that the name?
Toradol is an anti-inflammatory agent. Again, none of these are narcotics. These are not, you know, and so you can use these agents safely. They don't affect performance, nor are they performance enhancing, but they can really significantly reduce pain.
In the article, one of the articles I read today, the guy who was an NFL player, and he talks about NFL just being a business, and you don't want to spend any time in the training room. He said players back in his day called it vitamin T.
Yeah,
is what they call that. And he said, you know, a lot of guys, there'd be a line game day. There'd be a line, you know, to make sure that they could play in that game. Let's talk about the second part. After you identify the severity of the pain, step number two is limit practice reps. So I think that just makes sense. You know, if you're hurt, you identify it, what it is, if it's category one, two, or three, and then limit the practice reps. Get him ready for Sunday.
Yeah, these mostly apply to category two injuries where you're you're saying, well, we're going to get you as healthy as we can, and then we're going to save any reps for game day. And that's kind of where these guys are, most of them.
And then now step number three, and we've just talked about it, but pain injections and game day management.
Yeah, that's what that's all about, you know. So what things are safely injectable, what things are safely treatable with something anti-inflammatory like Toradol. Again, in the physician role, okay, so in my role,
right,
our job is to be is to do what's the best thing for our patient. So despite the fact that this is a Green Bay Packer, despite the fact that it's the championship game, it doesn't change our role. We're not going to do those things if it's going to jeopardize the player's health. We will not do that. And that's where, you know, coaches are typically the coaches I work with are really respectful of that boundary. They're coaches. They want the guy on the field. If he's cleared, they want him to play. They want to know the parameters of what they can use him for. But our role is to be that stopgap to protect the player.
Did you ever think in early career that that was something you wanted to do? Question number one. Question number two, team doctors, like the team physician for the Packers, he's got – that's not his full-time job, correct?
No, it's not. And the answer to your question is I have been doing it for years. You know, we just do it at different levels. I've done college teams, high school teams, the Milwaukee Wave.
Right.
I used to cross cover for the Bucks. So I've been doing it for a long time. I didn't choose to pursue those jobs full-time because, you know, I have a family and all these other obligations, and it's a significant amount of time. I do think it's a lot of fun, but it's also very complicated. It's not like it was 30 years ago where you were in charge of everything. McKenzie's got a really cool thing up there because it's in Green Bay, and he's more isolated up there, and he does a really good job with the team. But a lot of the teams have physicians who are sort of going in and out, and a lot of the guys, as you know, the Bucks, they tend to leave town, they go somewhere and get their surgeries, and so it's a little bit different than what
it
used to be.
Do you know this? And I would assume that you do, but who pays the team doctor? Does it come from?
Well, oftentimes the team doctors now pay for the position. They do marketing and advertising to get the position, so it's not really a paid position for a lot of the teams anymore. Which is one of the reasons that it's kind of an odd dynamic. But that's for another day. We should run the list.
I just want to ask that question because I didn't know if the insurance, how that works. Hey, before we get to a break, and on the other side of the break, we're going to talk to Leroy Butler, and we're going to ask him, playing this time of year, what's that like? Before we get to that, the quad injury, and we didn't get a chance to talk too much about it, a deep contusion for him, and I don't know. Yeah, I think Morgan Burnett is such a big part of what they do, and I think it's important for if he can get back, to get him back.
Well, he has a really deep thigh bruise, and these are really tough to predict. I know he was limping around. He obviously was out last game. That means there was a lot of bleeding in the thigh during the game. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been out. So he's been doing a lot of e-stim during the week, trying to get this thing ready to go. How much he's going to be able to explode and do what he needs to do. It's something I want to talk to Leroy about how he would have to change how he plays if he's out there. You know, is he going to have to be a little bit more careful about angles? And, it, you know, he may not have normal explosiveness. So he's truly a game time decision. And whether he's able to play through it or not, it'll be interesting. It's just going to depend on the severity of that injury.
And we'll talk to Leroy Butler about that on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
How many times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game. Even if from time to time they've been a little lame. How could you ever love
There you go, Matty Barlow playing the Bears still suck. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Dr. Brian McCarty. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Brian. We're joined by number 36.
The real number 36.
The real number 36. He is the inventor of the Lambeau Leap. He is Leroy Butler. Leroy, how you doing today?
Doing very good, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're really grateful that you're here, Leroy. Just so you know, anybody that did not watch you play needs to go look up this guy. You were my favorite Packer back in those days. Man, you were awesome.
Hey, you're such a smart guy.
Yeah, that's why he's a doctor right there.
That's right.
Hey, Leroy, what we're talking about on today's show is playing through being injured, playing through being hurt, and getting ready to play in the playoffs. Different time of year when you're an NFL player, rather than week three and you might sit out a game if you're hurt, come, you know, this time of year, there's a lot of guys playing with some serious pain.
Yeah, I think for the most part, the hardest part of being a team doctor or a team trainer is to manage stiffness and the like soft tissue and things of that nature. But it is a difference between being hurt and being injured. Now, the difference is an injured guy like Jordy Nelson, you know, he has, you know, broken ribs, and for some reason his wingspan, he can't reach over his head, or for some reason he can't, like, do some of the day-to-day operations. Now, they have to manage him with his pain. Not only that, the physical therapy people have to get his range of motion good. If not, then you just go with a healthy guy. For the most part, guys, everybody, the last four teams, I bet 80% to 90% of those guys are hurt. They got aches and pains and things of that nature. That's a little bit easier to manage, and the hype and the adrenaline of the game will be something that can get you through the game. But for the most part, when you look at the most healthiest teams, they usually went out because their depth on their team, like the special teamers or the second and third string guys, those guys are flying around. They carry you all the way to games like this that you'll see this weekend. So, you know, and some guys are different. Because Brett Favre, I used to call him the Wolverine Doc. I mean, this guy had a broken thumb, still played. He had, like, a severely sprained ankle that was all multicolors. But he still had a – you know, he still wanted to play. So, you know, and sometimes – and the last thing I'll say about it, sometimes you can hurt your team because you want to go out there and play, but you're not 100%, and other teams take advantage of it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, Leroy. I mean, he certainly played through more things than you could imagine. And I'm sure there were times that you probably were wondering whether he should be or not. But overall, a great career. You know, you played so many years playing safety and just, you know, really making the quarterback of the defense sort of a thing when you were playing. With Morgan Burnett being injured like he is with that quad injury, I don't know if you've ever had that injury with a deep quad bruise, but how much do you think that's going to affect his ability to be explosive and play that position?
You know, that's a great question because, you know, as most people have to understand, in the real life, it's two people you must never lie to, your wife and your doctor.
That's true.
And so, your pastor, maybe three.
Well, your pastor's going to know when you're lying or not before you come in anyway, so he's good. But you have to tell your doctor, listen, I got an injury that's normally a basketball injury, another knee. And, Mike, I'm sure you've seen this. When you knee another player in the thigh muscle.
Right.
Now, that it starts to bleed. You know, it swells up a little bit. And you have to put ice on it. You have to put heat on it. But it's just the range of motion. And then you sit down with the doctor and the coach, and you say, listen, what percent do you think he's at? And the player gives you a percentage. Well, you know, I'm about 80%. And then you have the old, what fans say, well, I'd rather have a guy at 80% than have, you know, Bryce at 100%. But when you're talking about playing Julio Jones, Gabriel, and all these fast receivers, you have to have your safeties at 100% or as close as possible. Now, what they could probably do is let him play in certain situations and let, you know, Bryce play in the obvious passing downs. But I'm going to tell you something, that's a hard injury to get over with this. I mean, it's just not enough time for it to heal, because if he takes another shot in the same area on the side part of that thigh, I mean, it can cause a lot of damage.
Yeah, one of the difficulties returning from this injury for our listeners is the ability for you to fire that muscle effectively. When it's all inflamed and there's a lot of bleeding underneath it, it's actually hard to get the nerves to fire the muscle actively. And that's, I think, what the trainers are going to be looking at with him on the sideline and having him do some sprinting drills and things, is to just see, how is he coming off of that thing? Is he limping? Is he actually got good speed? If he does, they'll probably let him go. if he doesn't, you know, I don't think he'll be effective.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, because the physical therapy and the trainers and the doctor, there's three levels. But the doctor had the last say-so, because, again, when they come out to see you, okay, they're going to ask you some really tough questions, because sometimes you could pressure wrap it, Doc, in practice, and they'll try that, I think, today.
Yes.
They'll try it out, they'll pressure wrap it, see what his mobility, see can he sprint, can he push off, can he backpedal, and then you need your leverage to make a tackle. I mean, you need that lower level to come up and thrust and make a tackle. If he can't do that, they'll probably just sit him, and hopefully he plays in the Super Bowl, assuming they win. But in this day and age, now here's a question for you. In this day and age, I know fans, we want these guys to play. In this day and age with player safety, I know concussions is number one. But I think with all injuries, fans always want players to play. And yeah, it's tough on doctors, don't get any sleep. Because ultimately, after we get through playing, when you get in your 30s and 40s and 50s, you're thinking that may come back to haunt you. So that's why I say you have to be honest with your doctor. And you just have to let a guy know, listen, I can't play to 100%. And now the doctor has to go in with the coaches. You know, you have to go and meet with a good friend like Mike McGivern and say, listen, your top guy is not available. He's going to give you a look, doctor, like you've never seen.
Oh, I know. I know the look very well. I've had it many times, but... Yeah, you know, your point is really well taken, and I think we had a little conversation before you came on about the different categories of injury from a medical perspective, you know, and I was telling Mike that I've been a team doctor for many teams in my life, and the, you know, the ultimate responsibility is to you, the player, you know, and the team is important, the game is important, but ultimately we have to make sure you're not going to have any long-term damage from what it is that you're doing. And limit that risk. So there's always a risk, you know that, but we want to limit that for you. And so that's where the decision-making comes in. For example, even if Morgan Burnett's injury might not get dramatically worse for this, is he at higher risk? Can he protect himself from getting a concussion? Can he protect himself when he's making a tackle? These are things that, as a team physician, that I look for when I'm out there in the warm-ups and we're looking at guys and determining whether they can go, talking to the trainers, how did he do during the week, that, you know, that sort of thing really plays a large role.
Hey, Leroy, it's interesting because one of the things that, you know, as fans, you hear about, oh, they've got the flu and the stomach virus that is going through the Packer team and the Pittsburgh team. According to Dr. Brian McCarty, it's a lot bigger deal than I think people are giving credit for.
It is, and I tweeted about it, that in an NFC championship game, most guys are probably sick, and that you don't want to have a built-in excuse about it. But with 48 hours out, you know, fluids and, you know, some guys may be on antibiotics. Take, for instance, let's use Aaron Rodgers as a threshold as far as if he can get his levels up, which they have IVs and things of that nature, the energy level, they have stuff for that. But it's just the cerebral part of your brain saying, you know, something hurts, something is wrong. Oh, by the way, I have to remember 50 plays in this part of the field, 100 plays in this part of the field. And you just kind of wear it down. So you need a lot of rest. But when it comes to the NFC Championship game, and they're going to take everybody's temperature, your temperature is going to be up anyway because of the, you know, the magnitude of the game. But if you have a temperature that morning, and if it's like, you know, 103, 104, I play to a temperature like 102, 103, no big deal. But if it's anything high, they're not going to let you play.
Yeah.
Yeah. If your temperature keeps going up and up, I mean, you can be in serious danger. So the next morning, well, Sunday morning, they're going to test all these guys to see, for some reason, if the temperature's up, where's your energy levels, your fluid levels, and things of this nature. And if a guy was, for whatever reason, you know, say he was, you know, drinking some alcohol or something during the week, you can't do any of that when you're sick. So these guys got to make sure they're on point, because remember, you have only one chance to make up what happened in 2015 when you 19-0, you had the ball against Seattle. That's the only way you're going to feel better, is to beat Atlanta.
That's so true.
Yeah, I canceled my family Super Bowl party that year, Leroy. I just, I, oh. I said, don't even come over. I'm not watching this game. Hey, Leroy, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. I really appreciate it. How are you feeling? Do you have a prediction on the game tomorrow?
Oh, I really do. Before I say that, I want to tell Dr. McCartney, I want to let you know you educated me on something that I never knew we had in our body, and it was a meniscus.
Oh, very nice. Oh. Very nice. Well, good.
I'm telling you. I never even heard about it. Just thought we needed it 3-4 years ago. I heard you talking about it, and I heard it with Derrick Rose and some of these other guys, but a lot of these other doctors, I've never heard them talk about it, how much important it is, but I just wanted to thank you for that.
Hey, you're welcome, Leroy. That's why we started the show. We were hoping to shed some light on some of these things instead of what you hear just on ESPN.
Thank you very much, because it was very educational, because a lot of kids have that injury and they think it's the end of the world, and it's really not.
But right.
It's just a worry. It scares you. I would say with this particular game, guys, we all know it's going to be a shootout. Both defenses are terrible, but to be honest. And both quarterbacks have been very prolific. One of them is going to be MVP. I think it'll be Matt Ryan. Aaron Rodgers probably be the runner-up. I say the Packers win this game 41-33.
All right.
Take the over, according to Leroy Butler. Leroy, thank you, man. I really appreciate a few minutes of your time.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. It's a fantastic show. And I'm in Florida, but I still stream and listen.
There you go. When you get back, head over to your local Pick and Save store. You know that.
No question about it. It's the only place I get my food.
Attaboy. That's Leroy Butler. We'll get to a break. On this side of the break, we'll continue. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's Sunday, A Bloody Sunday by U2, brought to you by Dr. Brian McCarty. Go to mymosh.com for more information. He does not do requests, and he will not come out and DJ your party. However, he's got great taste in music.
I might.
He might. He might. He is a musician
used to be, yeah.
Used to be.
Yeah.
Hey, how good is Leroy Butler? That was awesome.
He's...
What great insight.
He should be in the full Hall of Fame, not just the Packer Hall of Fame.
I
don't know. I can't understand why he wouldn't be. He was the most dynamic safety of his era. No question.
You know, and he was a corner, and then they moved him to safety, and he was so good.
He was so good. He was everywhere.
He seemed to know where the ball was going.
He did.
You know, as quick as the offense did, because he was always in the right space, in the right place. Hey, let's talk. We didn't get to some other injuries from some other teams, and if we can, with Atlanta, they're still talking about the turf toe. With Jones, and they're still talking about the turf toe with the other receiver. But other than that, they're pretty healthy.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're all off the injury list. So they're going to play. I don't think there's any question. And I don't really think it's going to be that big of a deal for them. They're a healthy team. They had the bye week. That's a problem. But it is what it is. You know, we know what we're dealing with. And so you look at our side of the ledger, right?
You got
Geronimo Allison. That hamstring injury, totally a matter of how severe it is. If it's pretty bad, he's going to be really limited. He'll probably try to play because it's the championship game and they don't have any other receivers. But I don't know. It's all going to depend how bad that injury was. Davante Adams, we talked about his ankle. I think he'll play. I don't know how effective he'll be. Again, same kind of a deal. Jordy Nelson, I'll be shocked if he plays. If he does, we're all going to be holding our breath, hoping he doesn't get hit hard. Quentin Rollins, you know, would be really great to get him back, and it's possible. He's listed as questionable, which is, you know, they removed the whole,
probable
thing. But hopefully he'll get cleared. And then Burnett's going to be a big wild card as well.
And then on Atlanta, the only thing they have listed, and he's out, they put him on injury reserve, Adrian Claiborne, defensive end, his bicep. And he is done for the year. You look at the other game in New England Patriots, and you know you either love them or hate them. There's very few people that don't have a strong feeling about the Patriots. Malcolm Mitchell is questionable with a knee. Chris Hogan is questionable with a thigh. Bennett, their tight end, is a knee, and he's questionable. Amendola with an ankle. So a number of receivers, but they just seem to reload.
They do. They're a system, you know, and they're, it's a well-coached team. I you know, a lot of us don't really care for the Patriots because of their history of questionable actions and, you know, are they cheating? Are they not cheating? And all this kind of stuff. But you can't help but admire the fact they do seem to reload, and they always seem to be in this position year after year.
Pittsburgh Steelers, that bug is, that stomach virus has gone through their locker room as well.
Yeah, they've had it worse than the Packers.
They have. Their tight end Green is questionable with concussion and illness. And that's the illness that they're talking about. James Harrison, shoulder and tricep is questionable. If you know anything about that guy, he's going to play if there's any way that he can play.
He'll play.
That's a tough dude.
There's no way James Harrison at age 38 with his last crack at a Super Bowl isn't getting in that game.
He is playing.
And he'll make an impact. He's a freak, that guy. So it's going to be a very exciting weekend, and hopefully we'll have another show in a couple weeks talking about the injury list leading into the Super Bowl for the Packers.
You got a prediction on this one?
You know, I think the Packers are going to pull out a high-scoring affair. I think they're going to have to jump out early because if the Atlanta can run and pass, they're going to have troubles. But hopefully they'll do what they did last week, and we'll see.
It's
exciting.
I put Packers 31-28.
I like it.
Yeah, I would love to see that as well. Dr. Brian McCarty, thank you so much. This was a great show. I want to thank Leroy Butler for coming on. Matt Barlow, nice job. Good luck, Packers, man. It's going to be fun to watch. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.